The Bible passage I have been asked to preach on today, which the focus groups will be looking at during the week, is 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 1 to 10. This tells the story of a young king called Josiah. And in order to open up this biblical passage, I want to do three things. First, to set Josiah's story in the context of the Old Testament history. Second, to look at the discovery of the book of the law and what that meant. And then third, to think about what happens when the Word of God is lost and then recovered. So my three points on the screen: the context, the discovery, the recovery. First of all then, the context. In Genesis chapter 12, God chose Abraham and made a covenant with them and with all his descendants after him. He said, "I will be your God and you will be my people." And he made a covenant, and they became a covenant people belonging to God. And he also said, "I will give you a land in which to live, a promised land." They suffered 400 years as slaves in Egypt. You know the story of Joseph and how they went to Egypt, and then they were made prisoners. But after 400 years, God sent Moses to take them out of Egypt. And then he sent Joshua to take them finally into the promised land. And for a long time, the land was ruled by judges, the last and the greatest of whom was Samuel. But then the people come and they say, "We want a king to be like all the other nations." And that was not good. It was really rejecting God's direct kingship over them. But God allowed them a king. The first king was Saul. And then the second king was David. And then the third king was Solomon, David's son. But when Solomon died, there was a rebellion, and a large number of the people refused to take Solomon's son as their king, and they chose someone else instead. And this was catastrophic, because what had been one kingdom of Israel now became two different nations. The kingdom of Judah in the south, with only two tribes following Solomon's son. And in the north, 10 tribes to be called the nation of Israel. And these two nations were at loggerheads from then on till the very end of both of these kingdoms. In both Israel in the north and Judah in the south, there were good kings and bad kings, but increasingly evil kings. Eventually, the northern kingdom of Israel was taken away into exile by the Assyrians. Almost 100 years later, the southern kingdom of Judah was taken away into exile in Babylon for 70 years before they finally came back to the promised land. This story before us today comes shortly before the Babylonians came to invade them and take them away to Babylon. So that's a potted history of the Old Testament to set Josiah in his context. It's in the southern kingdom of Judah, the capital Jerusalem, and it's a short time before they're invaded by the Babylonians. So that's the context. Secondly, the discovery. Most of the kings who came before Josiah were evil. They led the people away from God. They promoted the worship of other gods, and they engaged in some evil and wicked practices, including the sacrifice of children. A million miles away from the way things were under good King David. But Josiah was not like that. He was a good king, like his great-grandfather Hezekiah before him, and like King David himself. We're told in 2 Chronicles 34 that Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David, and he turned wholeheartedly to God. 2 Kings 23, neither before nor after Josiah was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his strength. Now, one of the things that Josiah did was to order that work should be done on the temple. The temple had been neglected during his predecessor's time. And in fact, sometimes they had taken false gods into the temple. But the temple had been neglected, and it was in major need of repair and renovation. So Josiah called the high priest, and he ordered that work should be done to repair the temple, and that money was no object, but it should be done. And the high priest went off to do it. Josiah was concerned that once again the temple should be a place of worship to the Lord, and he wanted it to be in good condition. However, when the high priest began to do this, something remarkable happened. He found the book of the law. Now, some people have argued that that was the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament. But I think it's more likely, given the evidence, that what he found was the book of Deuteronomy. This book was known as the Book of the Covenant. It describes the covenant renewal that took place under Moses. But anyway, Josiah gets the book, and he reads it, and he's horrified because he discovers that the people have not been living according to the law that God gave them, that they've not been following God's law, God's ways. And so immediately he takes steps to put this right, to bring the people into conformity with the law of God and the teaching of God. Now, we might find it hard to believe how God's word given to Moses could be lost for several generations, but that's what had happened. The previous kings, having led the people astray, were not interested in God's word, and so the word of God was neglected and ultimately abandoned, until the high priest found it in the temple. Now, if we had read on through the next couple of chapters of 2 Kings, but that would have been to ask too much of Christine to read three chapters of Scripture. But if you read on through the next two chapters, you would see that the discovery of the Word of God led Josiah to take action. In other words, he didn't just take the book of the law which had been discovered, dust it down, and put it on a lectern in the temple. That would not have been enough. No. He read it. He acted upon it. And he tried to bring the whole of the life of the nation under God's authority. He found the Word of God, he read the Word of God, and he obeyed the Word of God. And he called the people to recognize their heritage and their calling. He reminded them that they were a covenant people established by God, and that they had duties and responsibilities before God. But more than that, he reminded them that the only way to have blessing and real meaning and purpose in this life is to follow what God has said. God made us, and God knows how we should live. I remember when I was a student, one of the churches in Aberdeen had a wayside pulpit. You don't see them very often now. But one week on that wayside pulpit, it just said, "Read Maker's Instructions." Read Maker's Instructions. If we want to know how to live, we should listen to the one who made us. There are many voices today that tell us different ways to live. But the voice to listen to is the voice of God. And then thirdly, the recovery. It's important to ask what this passage of Scripture can teach us today. I would suggest that we need a recovery of God's Word, just as they did in Josiah's day. Now you might say, "Andrew, you're talking nonsense. We haven't lost the Bible. We've got hundreds of Bibles. You see them at the door as you come in. Most of us have copies, maybe more than one in our houses. We haven't lost the Word of God. Our nation hasn't lost the Word of God." And it's true, the Bible is available in every church, in every bookshop. But having copies of the Bible is not enough. It's not the same as reading it, trusting in the God who gave it, and using it to direct our lives and the lives of our nations. We might have Bibles, but do we read them? Even the parts which make uncomfortable reading for 21st century Western people. It's not just the churches that need a recovery of the Word of God. It's our nation too. We find ourselves in a situation where the nation has largely abandoned belief in God and His Word. And the relationship between God and the nation has broken down. Many of our MSPs and MPs believe that they can make laws and run the country without any reference to God. And so they pass laws which are contrary to God's word. They also believe that they're capable of making moral and ethical decisions without listening to God. And yet, if the Bible is true that God made us and God gave us His Word, then only He can tell us what's good and bad, right and wrong, true and false. And we are incapable of making decisions like that without looking to God. The truth is that we need a recovery of Scripture, or there is no hope for the nation and for ourselves as individuals. Without the Word of God, our lives will not have direction or meaning or purpose. It's through the Word of God, by the Holy Spirit, that we understand what it is and how to live. The writers of the New Testament, they were very clear about this. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. "No prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3 and 16, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training. So you see, if the Bible came from God, as those who wrote it were carried along by the Holy Spirit, and if the scriptures are God-breathed, it means that they come from Him, and that this is not like any other book, that this is a book which has its origins in God. And that's why it's so important, and that's why we need to build our lives, the life of our church, and the life of our nation on that. When John, who wrote the gospel, was giving his reason for writing the gospel, he said this: "These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." In other words, the Bible was not written as some kind of antiquarian book that might be of interest to booksellers and historians. It was not written to satisfy our curiosity, and it was certainly not written to provide information for theologians. It was written that we might come to know Jesus, and by coming to know Jesus, that we might believe in Him and receive new life. That's how important the Bible is, and that's why we can have confidence in it. But it's not just a book that carries the authority of God in terms of instructions on how to live. It's also food for our souls. As we read it under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, it feeds us spiritually so that we are able to serve God. The problem is that many people today are not ready to accept the authority of God speaking by His Spirit through the Scriptures. Even many so-called leaders in the church want to replace the words of men for the Word of God. Even our own Church of Scotland has been in danger of following the popular consensus of opinion, rather than basing all its theology and teaching on the Word of God. And so the Word of God may not have been completely lost, as in Josiah's day, and needing to be found. But I put it to you that there are many ways in which it has been lost and needs to be recovered. But one final point. Even if we do read the Scriptures, we will only truly understand them if we are in a right relationship with God. When I was principal of the Highland Theological College, first of all, we were based in Elgin. And near to Elgin was the famous Pluscadon Abbey, a Benedictine monastery. And every year at Pentecost, the monks at Pluscadon Abbey ran a series of Pentecost lectures. And we would go to these because they were usually very stimulating and thought-provoking. On one occasion, the lecturer who'd been invited to give these Pentecost lectures was a distinguished Roman Catholic theologian from Oxford, now in America, called Tom Wynandi. And during these lectures, at one point he broke off to describe his own personal experience with God. He described how through the work of the Spirit, he had come into a deep personal relationship with God. And then he said this: "At that point, the Bible came alive for me." Now, of course, it was not the Bible which had come alive. It was Tom who had come alive. And when he came alive, then he could understand and see and believe and benefit from the scriptures in an entirely new way. The recovery of the Word of God begins when we enter into a deep relationship with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by the work of the Spirit. Then the scriptures will speak to us in a new way. Let us then learn the lesson of Josiah and seek the recovery of the Word of God in our day. Let us pray.